The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September is Minute Messages, Gospel-Filled Devotions for Every Occasion. This new devotional resource is written by Issues Etc. guest Dr. Matt Richard. Minute Messages is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Minute Messages, Gospel-Filled Devotions for Every Occasion, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September.
The angel Gabriel from heaven came, with wings as swift as snow, with eyes as flame. All hail to thee, O lowly maiden Mary, most highly favored lady,
The angel calls Mary highly favored lady. What is that favor that God is bestowing upon the Virgin Mary when he visits her by an angel and the infant Jesus is conceived in her womb? Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. It's time to teach a Sunday school lesson on Jesus' birth foretold in Luke chapter 1. Pastor Tom Baker joins us. He's host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. And for almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
Why did Jesus need to be born of a virgin?
He needed to be born of a virgin simply for the fact that if he had been born of a woman who already had a baby, then it's quite possible that people would not have believed that she was a virgin. But it was very clear that the Pharisees later accused Jesus of being born out of wedlock. And being born of a virgin is a fulfillment of what is found in the Old Testament, where it says that a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. So Jesus found that out very early, that everything that he was about to do and his ending on the cross, and his resurrection, all was found in the Old Testament. And so once God made a promise, then it had to come true. And as he said, behold, a virgin shall conceive.
Luke tells us that Joseph, Mary's betrothed, was in the line of David. Why is that important?
That's important because from the very beginning, even with Adam and Eve, God had said that there would be a line through Eve going to the Messiah. Eve thought that when she gave birth to Cain, if you read chapter 4, verse 1, she says, I have gotten a man, the Lord. And most translations have from the Lord, which is wrong. But she thought she'd already given birth to the Messiah. But she had been given birth instead to the first murderer. And it was centuries later that Jesus came into the world through incarnation. He was always in the world. In fact, he's in the very first three verses of the first book of the Bible, Genesis, where it says, and he created light. That was Jesus in his pre-incarnate state. So what we have here is Jesus becoming incarnate, which means he now gets a human body. And that, of course, is very important.
The angel says, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. What does that mean?
It doesn't mean what some people think, that she's highly favored because she was leading such a good life. In reality, every Christian is highly favored. It's the fact that God favors you, not because of what you are doing. He favored Abraham, who, of course, was a sinner. He favored Adam and Eve, and he favored everyone in the Old Testament who he brought to faith in the coming of the Messiah, even though they were sinners. So God's favor is found kind of in John 3:16. For God so loved, and then the next word is important, world, which means even unbelievers and very sinful people. That's why in the liturgy we often will say that I'm a poor, miserable sinner, deserving nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. That's what I deserve. But God is a God of grace who, for some reason, because of his great love, favors us and brings us into faith. So there was nothing like the Roman Catholic Church believes that Mary was sinless, and therefore, being sinless, God favored her. No, there's no evidence of that at all, as we're going to find out when Mary does her wonderful song of joy after becoming the mother of the Lord. And the very first line is, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." So if she was sinless, she wouldn't have needed a Savior. But the fact that she confesses that God is her Savior shows there was nothing particular in Mary that had God choose her. It was simply that for some reason he favored her, as he does every Christian who is baptized, receives the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit.
The angel describes Jesus saying, "He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Explain that, if you would.
What the angel is saying is telling Mary that his name will be Jesus, which means saves us, and that he will be great and called the Son of the Most High. Now, there's no doubt that every Christian, male or female, are children of God, sons and daughters, or a lot of times just the son, because that's how they had when someone died, the son would take over. But now also females receive the blessings from God. But Jesus is the only begotten son. We're adopted sons, adopted children. And therefore, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, which he himself refers to. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. Very important that David, through him, comes the Savior. And it's really interesting, the various stories in the Old Testament, how that line to Jesus was almost broken. Remember, when Naomi, her two sons died, the line would have been broken until Boaz married Ruth, and they continued the line with the grandfather of David, and David was considered to be the pivotal point, and that's why he is mentioned, that the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. Jesus is the new Adam. Jesus is the new Moses. Jesus is the new David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Now, the house of Jacob, of course, refers to all believers. And its kingdom, there will be no end. It's an eternal kingdom, which will occur after the day of Judgment Day and continue as all believers will be in heaven with Jesus.
How does Mary respond to the angel's words?
Well, at first she says, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" Now, that's kind of interesting because when John the Baptist, the angel came and told Zechariah that he would be born, John the Baptist, Zechariah asked a question also. "How shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is advanced in years." Now, the angel answered him, and this is important, "I am Gabriel, I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring to you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words." So the question from Zechariah was understood as one of unbelief, whereas the question from Mary, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" That is just simply a question, not of unbelief, but how is this going to occur? And the Holy Spirit, the angel says, will come upon you, and the power of the Most will overshadow you. Now, that term overshadow is really important because it's used to describe God's presence in the tabernacle, that God overshadows the Holy of Holies. And therefore, it shows that Mary will be pregnant by God overshadowing her, as he did in the Holy of Holies, and that therefore the child to be born will be called holy, and then the angel repeats again, the Son of God, because it is done by the power of the Holy Spirit. When Mary hears this, and the angel says, "Look at, even your relative Elizabeth in her old age has conceived a son," that's John the Baptizer, "this is the sixth month with her, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary responds, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." What an act of faith to believe what really seems to be impossible, that a virgin will conceive and bear a son. But Mary believed the words of the angel Gabriel, because as he said to Zechariah, "I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news." And by the way, the word good news often is for the word gospel. And that means more than a son is going to be born. It means that through him, many will be saved.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on the Jesus of birth foretold. When we come back, Mary goes to see Elizabeth.
"Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago."
Lutheran Talk.
We have an ecumenical responsibility to hold forth the scriptures and to bear witness to grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone.
Lutheran Music. Listen anytime, anywhere in 2020 with the Lutheran Public Radio mobile app. Download for iPhone, Android, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
Your funeral is the last opportunity to make your confession, your final confession from the grave, as it were. In your funeral, you confess before the world what you believe and in whom you trust, Christ and Him crucified. The September issue of the Luther Witness will help you think through this final confession of yours. It will help you think through the funeral service, funeral arrangements, hymns, and more. To purchase your copy of the Luther Witness, visit cph.org/witness. To learn more, visit witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Silicon Valley is a place of cutting-edge innovation which radically changes lives, where science fiction is already in research and development. In the heart of this digital chaos is a sanctuary of constancy and reverence, Hope Lutheran in Fremont, where nothing is new under the California sun, where the timeless gospel is proclaimed and the sacrament is celebrated with the historic liturgy that truly changes lives. And thanks to Silicon Valley, you may find us on the web at hopelutheranfremont.org.
"If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Those words of Jesus have been the motto of Concordia University Chicago for generations. We build our education on the Word of God, the only sure foundation for learning. I'm Dr. Adam Francisco, Dean of the College of Theology, Arts, and Humanities at Concordia Chicago, and I invite you to visit us to discover what it means for God's Word to become the foundation of your future. Learn more at cuchicago.edu.
Sanctifying your vocations with the Word of God. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues, Etc. congregational sponsor. Bethel Lutheran, Thunder Bay, Ontario. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. Emmanuel Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Peace Lutheran, Hastings, Nebraska. Risen Christ Lutheran, Arvada, Colorado. St. John Lutheran, Strongsville, Ohio. St. Peter Lutheran, Arlington, Wisconsin. And University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues, Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal.
We're discussing the birth of Jesus foretold in Luke chapter 1 with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel. This is Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Folks, if you enjoy portals of prayer, be sure to order the Issues, Etc. book of the month for September. Minute messages, gospel-filled devotions for every occasion. It's written by Issues, Etc. guest Dr. Matt Richard. This new devotional resource is $12.99 plus shipping and handling. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040 and ask for the Issues, Etc. book of the month for September, minute messages. So Tom, Mary travels to see her relative Elizabeth. What happens there?
Well, when Elizabeth saw Mary and heard the greeting of Mary, John the Baptizer leaped in her womb. Now, he was 6 months in the womb, because Mary went immediately to see Elizabeth. And it says that happened because Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In fact, if you'll recall, when Gabriel talked to Zechariah about the birth of John the Baptizer, he made it pretty clear that he would be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he was born. And so, through faith, Elizabeth says, "Blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Elizabeth believed that the pregnancy of Mary was indeed for the child Jesus to be born. And she says, "When the sound of your greeting came to my ears, my baby leaped in my womb for joy, and blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And she's talking about Mary's joy that is so significant that she agreed to be the servant of the Lord.
What should we know about Mary's song that we call the Magnificat?
Yes. As I indicated earlier, it begins with "My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." So she recognizes she was a sinner and says in verse 48, "He has looked on the humble estate of the servant, and behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who has mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name." Now, this is really important to remember, because I find, and I'm using material from the latest Concordia Journal, that a lot of people, if you would ask them the question, do you have a body? And they will say, yes, I have a body. And they really have misunderstood, therefore, the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Dietrich Bonhoeffer put it this way: man's body is not his prison, is not his shell, not his exterior, but it is man himself. Man does not have a body, he does not have a soul. Rather, he is body and soul. For the man who renounces his body renounces the existence before God the Creator. In other words, as Psalm 139 says, you formed my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. What the incarnation of Jesus Christ does is it reveals the Father's desire to recreate every human body in the image of his only begotten Son. That's how Adam and Eve were created, with an embodied life. Unfortunately, because of rebellion against God, we've distorted the body's beauty and goodness, and we only perceive the body through the lens of sin and death. And Paul says the body is dead because of sin, Romans 8:10. But in this life, we don't see the glorious body which God originally created. We need a renewed vision of the human body's sacredness and beauty. And God provides that vision through his incarnate Son. In him, we see the human body in its sacredness, wholeness, and completion. Therefore, the incarnation of Jesus is more than an event that was told to Mary. It is really also God's vision of the human body, which the Holy Spirit fully reveals at Jesus' baptism, when the Father says, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," because he was revealing to creation the Word made flesh and the recreated human body in Jesus' body. And that's why when we die, our bodies will be recreated to join with our spirit in heaven, and we will therefore have an eternal future. That's something that the incarnation of Jesus Christ was very important to do, so that when Jesus becomes a human being, remember, the Bible makes very clear, he was without sin. He was like Adam and Eve before the fall, and he is also like you as a Christian will be after the day of resurrection. So there's a lot going on in this incarnation, and that's really what Mary's response is. Because in verse 54, he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And mercy means that God is not going to give you what you deserve. Instead, he is gracious, and he's going to give you what you don't deserve, the forgiveness of sins. And Mary concludes, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. And remember, Jesus is the only begotten Son, but we are all adopted sons of Jesus Christ through baptism. And therefore, Jesus' baptism is important, but his incarnation is most important to remind us that we just don't have a body. We are the body.
Finally then, Tom, what's the simple law and gospel from this lesson?
The simple law and gospel is that we don't really want to believe the words of Jesus Christ. A lot of times we think that, well, I really deserve nothing from God because of my sinfulness. But the gospel is, no, God gives me unmerited grace, and he favors me not because of anything I've done, but because of what his son has done. And the number one step his son took was to take on a human body so that God will show us in time how our human body will also be supreme in his mind, as in heaven forever we are in the body.
Pastor Tom Baker hosts a radio show called Law and Gospel for almost 30 years. He met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. We'll post a link to Law and Gospel on the Talk on Demand Archives page at issuesetc.org. Tom, thanks.
And thank you.
Dr. Ken Sherb will be with us on the other side of the break. We'll continue our series with him on the Old Testament in a church year, discussing the Old Testament prophet Ezekiel. The Issues Etc. book of the month for September is Minute Messages, Gospel-Filled Devotions for Every Occasion. This new devotional resource is written by Issues Etc. guest Dr. Matt Richard. Minute Messages is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Minute Messages, Gospel-Filled Devotions for Every Occasion, the Issues Etc. book of the month for September.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Logia Journal, the Confessional Dogmatic Series. The works of Kurt Marquardt and many other resources are all brought to you by Luther Academy. Did you know that during this time of COVID-19, your purchases and donations help Luther Academy supply these same resources to pastors around the world? Please consider helping us with this important need through your prayers and financial support. Learn how you can help by visiting lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
Confessional Lutherans are invited to rent a 4-bedroom, 3-bathroom Table Rock lakefront home in the Ozarks. Table Rock Lake is a premier lake in the heart of the Ozarks for boating, water sports, and fishing. This log cabin-style rental sleeps 12. And is 30 minutes from Branson and 20 minutes from Silver Dollar City. Learn more by calling Swanson Estates, 713-855-2681. Be sure to mention Issues Etc., 713-855-2681.